Hey, you're about to hear our brand new podcast, My Crazy Family. And if you like it, I need your help. To let other folks know that this show exists, we need reviews on Apple Podcasts. So if you got about 10, 15 free seconds, please head over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a quick review, and I'll make it worth your while. Send me a screenshot of that review, and I'll enter you into a contest to win a $500 Amazon gift card. So leave the review on Apple Podcasts, send me the screenshot to contest@crazyfampod.com. That's contest@crazyfampod.com. And later in the year, we'll randomly pick someone for that $500 Amazon gift card. So please leave that review at Apple Podcasts, then send me the screenshot. contest@crazyfampod.com. And thanks. Hey, Stacy, remember the days of getting together with family at Christmas?
I do, and so fun to be hanging with the family and having a great time.
Even more fun when you get old grandpa, who's, you know, not the best with seeing or hearing or cognition, behind the wheel.
Oh, that's even worse. Can you imagine?
What can possibly go wrong? That's today on My Crazy Family.
My.
My. Crazy.
Crazy.
Family.
Family.
My.
Crazy.
Family.
That indeed it is. Welcome to My Crazy Family. This is episode number one of Woo! My Crazy Family. Woohoo! It's always kind of exciting doing a brand new podcast. It's Tony and Stacy Cole with you. To get us off the ground, though, and let people know that we exist, please press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. And leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts. We do greatly appreciate that. So, it's a new show. It's all about your crazy family and you guys sharing those stories of, whatever may have gone on in your life, in your family. You can do it completely anonymously. You can write in at crazyfampod. That's crazyfampod.com. Or you can call toll free. Got a number for this. 833-CRAY-FAM. 833-CRAY, C-R-A-Y, FAM, F-A-M. 833-272-9326. I'm using some of the terminology that is like a generation younger than me, like the word cray.
Yeah, you are. You're kind of going back in time. I like it.
Yeah. Is that out of date now? Is out of date? Is cray out of date?
It is, and some would say it's not politically correct, but you know what? Yeah. What family is politically correct? And that's why we're here today doing this, because no family is politically correct.
No, I mean, there's so many. I mean, even if you have a, you know, quote unquote, good family, I mean, there are stories. There are things not even, you know, intentionally to be evil or mean, just crazy things that happen. It can be anything from, you know, a Thanksgiving where, you know, everything got burned and everything went wrong and you ended up at Denny's and even they screwed up the order to whatever it may be. It can get dark. It can get pretty dark and as dark as you want to go. And, you know, we're not going to make fun of super dark things, but, you know, we'll add some light to the situation of just the absurdity of what families are capable of.
Sometimes it's really nice to hear, this is really kind of a strange thing to say, but it's nice to hear other families having really bad difficulties because it makes you feel that, you know what, I'm not alone.
Yeah, it's cathartic to kind of have that. I predict there'll be a lot of listening to this podcast over holidays when people are in the bathroom locked away from their family members. They're like, I just got to listen to something. Turn on the podcast then and feel not alone.
Absolutely.
I used to do that. Did you ever escape into the bathroom?
The bathroom is my haven. I have everything in the bathroom I could ever need. I have snacks. There's an old soda can in the back. Like if I have to lock myself in there and not come out for a while, I can survive for days practically.
You have like
the
a
bathroom
survival.
Was always my safe space. And that was even before smartphones came out. You know, it was just a place for me to sit. I had water access, I had bathroom access, and I could lock the door and be away from family. It was a wonderful place to be.
I did it a lot too. I get so anxious around people when I was a kid, and I mean, I still do somewhat, but it's, there was just so much kind of nervous energy in the air at some of the family get-togethers, and I didn't even recognize it at the time or know what it was. I wasn't like, there's nervous energy in the air. Must flee to the bathroom. No, I was just like, I just felt more at peace in there and it was quiet. And there was a bathroom in my grandparents' basement that I remember going to. It's like you kind of had to go back in the other part of the basement where all the like the heater and the furnace and the water heater, all that was in existence. And then there was
there's cobwebs because nobody ever uses this bathroom.
Yep. And it's down a kind of a little dark hall. And it's just kind of the only thing framed in that part of the area. And I would go down there and I would shut the door, lock it, turn the light on. It was kind of a cozy little space. And I remember sitting in there many a Christmases reading Reader's Digest for like half hour stints. And then coming back out and then like, okay, I can be drained again, essentially. And then when I needed it to recharge, I'd go back in there. And there was a picture on the wall. It was this old, nothing special. It was probably just something they picked up at a garage sale or something. Just of like two sailboats out on the lake, a little beach, kind of a dark, cloudy day. And I always loved the picture. It was like, I don't know. It was kind of comforting, maybe because I associated that room with it. When they both ended up passing and everybody was, you know, raiding the house for stuff, I didn't live there anymore. And there really, there was nothing I needed. And I was like, you guys, y'all figure out whatever. Do you want anything? I said, I want the picture in the bathroom in the basement.
Like, did they think that was weird?
They did. They thought it was completely crazy. I said, no, the one with the boats, like what's kind of fallen out of its frame. That's fine. I'll fix it. Like, that's all I want. I just want the picture of the boats in the bathroom. Can I have that? So I got that. And I think
where is it now?
It's in my bathroom. I put it above the toilet in my bathroom, in the master bathroom that only, you know, me and my girlfriend use. And I explained the story to her as well. She's like, I put it up like since I've known her because I've had it for a while. I just never put it up. And I'm like, okay, this is the bizarre story on this. And she got it because she's very similar in you know, being around people and can only do so much until just kind of needs to calm. She totally got it.
We all have our ways to cope. And it's interesting because right to my right is an old antique rocking chair.
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth anything. It's probably 100 years old, but it's nothing special.
Yeah.
But my grandfather used to sit in this rocking chair. And when I would sit on his lap, it was like the safest place in the world. And I had a really messed up upbringing, really toxic, horrible father. And there's just something about the bubble of this rocking chair. And right now it's sitting next to me. There's just all kinds of crap sitting in it right now. I haven't sat in it in a long time, probably like 40 years. I haven't sat in this thing, but just knowing that it's in the room is enough for me. I don't need to sit in it and I'm probably never going to sit there, but this stupid chair, just, it's like, it's a safe place and it protects me. It's the weirdest thing. It's just a chair, but I get it.
Does it ever rock by itself?
Not yet. Believe me, I'm waiting for it because at some point we'll have to take a look and see if it's going to start rocking. I did see it rocking, but my cat had just jumped out of it.
Oh, okay.
But for a brief second it moved and I didn't know why, but then I saw the cat. So we were good.
The cat was getting pets in the chair from your grandfather.
Very possible.
Yeah.
It was during a thunderstorm and my cat does not appreciate thunderstorms. So
why not sit in it? Why do you not sit in it? Is it like could it break because it's just kind of old?
No, it is sturdy.
Oh,
it is. I don't even know what it's made out of, but it is so strong. And it has a little creak to it. Like when you rock back, it kind of goes, eh. But I haven't felt the need to sit in it. It's really symbolic for me. And I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll have to.
Yeah. Well, maybe I think the hope would be to not have to, because it seems like the reason you're not sitting in it is because that's not your life anymore.
Right.
You know, and it's more like the chair's still here, but I don't need the chair. So that's
exactly.
Yeah, I get it. Okay.
Kind of a break glass in case of emergency, but I don't need to.
Yeah.
You know?
That's interesting. Well, what do we got here today? I know there's some insane stuff. We got a man that went behind the wheel and maybe shouldn't have been a great idea.
Yeah. You know, speaking of grandfathers, that's what our first story is about today, is about a grandfather. So this is about Christmas time, and I'll just read what our podcast person listener sent to us. Mm-hmm. I'll start off with one about my wife's family. It says they are blue collar people who say exactly what they think. We all know what those people are like. So if they don't like something that you're doing, they will let you know immediately. Mm-hmm. Well, we went on a Christmas vacation to the mountains last year that included myself, my wife, her immediate family, and her maternal grandfather. Since grandpa had the van, all the kids, everyone under 40 years old, rode with him. I had never been in a vehicle with grandpa driving, so no one informed me that he is one of those old people who should no longer be driving. A guy who's writing in says, I'm a war vet that spent a lot of time on the road, so driving erratically, swerving, etc., is generally a bad idea. After 2 hours of this, I couldn't take it anymore and said I needed to use the restroom. So this swerving and driving erratically was going on for 2 hours. At that point, I refused to get back in. And he refused to let anyone else drive since it's my car and I decide who's going to drive it now, not you. Those are his words. So we go back and forth. I tell him he shouldn't be driving, period. And he finally loses it. I yell at the old bat and tell him to get out of my face. My brother-in-law now decides to take a swing at me since I'm apparently disrespecting Gramps. He catches me in the jaw, but it's just a glancing hit and he stumbles. I grab him by the neck and the back of the jeans, and I tossed him about 5 feet in the direction he was already traveling. At this point, my other brother-in-law jumps in. This pretty much starts a family brawl. All of this is happening in plain view of the gas station attendants, the customers, and people at the adjacent Arby's that's sharing space with the gas station.
It makes you wish you were sitting there
with
a...
I'm not sure about their reaction, but they didn't call the police, so I guess it didn't look that bad. Can you imagine you're filling up at the gas station and you're seeing like this family knockdown?
It'd be amazing to like be sitting there with a roast beef and cheddar and the curly fries, and you're just sitting there eating and enjoying, because it's total junk food and it's like watching junk television, but it's really in front of you and it's real people.
Yeah, it's in real time.
That would be exciting.
He goes on to say, my wife finally breaks up the fight, gets me separated from her brothers, and Gramps hauls ass out of the gas station in his van with the brothers in tow. We sit about 3 hours waiting on my in-laws to show up with vehicle number two to pick up both of us. I was thinking this was going to be an uncomfortable vacation after this, but it actually ended up pretty decent. I'm pretty certain I bought a bit of respect from most of the male family members because of this. And I definitely catch less shit from the one that I sent flying across the parking lot.
I get it and I don't get it. It's like pledging. It's like, what is it? Like initiation type things where you have to do something to be respected by the others. It's such an archaic bullshit thing that I just... Like, none of it makes any sense. Like, let's do something that's going to hurt somebody else, and that's going to show how tough you are. How about you just fucking be a decent human being and show that off, and then it's like, okay, we're cool. But some people just don't function that way, and the only way to communicate with them seems to be with, being an asshole.
Violence.
And force and violence, because that's all that they... What if it's a childhood thing where, that's what you are, instilled with, and it's extremely difficult to break it? I mean, I know people who've broken it, but a lot of people don't. And I wonder if some are incapable of ever having the IQ to break that,
Yeah. And I think that's a big possibility. You always hear about these families where there's, dad's been abusive until I got big enough to fight him back. And then he respected me and we never fought again. Why does it have to be that way?
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense. Let's go back to grandpa here.
Yeah.
If grandpa's driving that poorly, why doesn't anybody have the balls to speak up and say, maybe you shouldn't be driving?
Because families notoriously do the worst possible things and make the worst possible choices for their loved ones.
It's Isn't that the freaking truth?
And it's usually with, you know, somewhat of a selfish, narcissistic intent. But I mean, a lot of times it's not really met with malice. A lot of times it's people are too scared to do that. They're just going to shun you. You're just going to put you down or this or that. Well, you know, when you were a child too, they had to do that and it did hurt your feelings and they had to deal with your feelings being hurt. But they knew you were safer and it was a better choice because they were wiser and they were more with it than you when you were a child. And sometimes it's the opposite way too. And you got to deal with those tantrums. I don't have any problem with any of this. Like, I know there's a lot of parents that are just so, I don't know. I found parenting, honestly, to be pretty fucking easy, to be completely honest.
Well, I think you've also got a very easy daughter as well, don't you think?
I do. But I've raised her to just not be an idiot. I don't know. I mean, I parented my way. And I pretty much said fuck you to everybody else's ideas. And I'm just like, we're good. I'm not doing anything crazy here, or anything weird. I'm just, the way I talk to her is with respect, and I show her respect and she shows me respect. And it's not like super fear-based. I mean, is there every once in a while where I really kind of got to let her know you have to get this done, but there's ways of influencing that without just, you know, speaking very loud, because that really doesn't do anything and you scare the person and then they more locked up and don't want to do anything or they're incapable of doing anything. It's more like, okay, you're going to lose $50 right now. Okay, I got it. Yep. Okay. Thank you. You find what motivates and hopefully it's not fear. Cause fear is what's very, very difficult to motivate. But I think that that's how a lot of families run. It is fear and it lasts until the other person dies. And it's a very difficult thing. That's why you want to have a living will, kids. So like you can clearly state what the fuck you want done and nobody can step in and be like, well, I think no, you don't think, here's what this person thought and this is what we're going to do.
No, that's a great point.
Yeah. I mean, again, not intentional. I think a lot of times when people are trying to do things with their family or think they're doing what's best, they just don't know any better. And a lot of times it may have to do with the parent that's now there, not in the greatest shape. I remember when my grandma was suffering with Alzheimer's about 15 years ago. And what drove me nuts was so many of the visitors that would come in, would she be telling her story like, oh, you see the sailboats out there? There's not a fucking lake out there. I was talking to the Olsen boys. The Olsen boys were the boys she grew up with down the road in a little house on the prairie type setting, literally. And she talked about these things and it was constantly people going, you're here. You're in this. You're at the home right now. There's no sailboats out there, Mom. There's none of this. There's none of that. And it's like, just let her fucking, if this is what, and she seems to be in a good mood and she's thinking this shit, let her think that shit.
Yeah, but let her have her sailboats, so let her see the lake that's not there.
Like, you just want to pull her back to this, like, fucking hellhole that she's in right now? You know, what, so you know that she knows that she's there? Or what the fuck are we doing here?
Or that she's losing it, so yeah. That she's like, I don't know what's going on, yeah. But 5 minutes ago, yeah. I did know what was going on, and now you just brought me back?
Exactly. Yeah. Let's snap her back and forth a lot, because that's going to be really helpful. And now, it's like, just shut the fuck up and maybe even learn something from them, because they're recounting a lot of shit that they probably did. And learn about the Olsen boys. Learn about those boats. Why are the boats there? Where is she thinking she's at that this is what's there? You'll get little glimpses of things, but that's not them. That's your grandson. That's this, that's not your husband. That's just fucking let him. Yeah.
Well, those people obviously never saw The Notebook.
I haven't seen The Notebook.
Tony.
I've never had a girlfriend ask me to watch The Notebook and I've never chosen to watch The Notebook.
I don't know. I don't know if I can talk to you anymore. It is such a moving. First of all, you'll be crying at the end. You'll absolutely be bawling your eyes out. But I think it's a really useful movie.
What is it about?
Well, it's if I go into it, I think I'm going to give something away. Okay. Let me look up a review, but just
the Wikipedia.
A description. The Notebook. Okay, it came out in 2004.
Yeah.
A poor yet passionate young man falls in love with a rich young woman, giving her a sense of freedom. Okay, but they are soon separated because of their social differences. So it's a little bit like a Romeo and Juliet, but there's a twist coming at the end.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say.
They win the Mega Millions.
No. No. But it's, there's a twist at the end. And I, you know, I'm not going to give away any spoilers because it was, you know, how many years ago? Almost 20 years ago this film was. But there, it's, it has to do with Alzheimer's and dementia and things like that. So it's, you know, they go from being young to we fast forward to current day.
Sure.
And it's, oh, I really think you should see it.
You know, I remember seeing it on the walls of Blockbuster. When I drive by Blockbuster later today, I'll stop in and I'll rent it.
Blockbuster.
But, you know,
it was a really good movie. I wouldn't say it's a feel-good movie. It's a romantic. It was adapted from a romantic novel by Nicholas Sparks. And, but yeah, it's a tearjerker at the end.
You know, it's interesting when you think about the situation of someone being like at the home that doesn't really recognize what's going on so much, or they're thinking this or that. I would say it would be difficult, I think, if you had a parent that was abusive to you during your life, and you're there and you're caring for them all those years later. I can understand a little bit more where it's like in the situation I'm thinking of, there really wasn't a lot of that. But in others where that does exist, I could see there being some animosity and more like, let's flip you back to reality. You think you're on the love boat? Fuck that. It's time for pudding, bitch. But you know, that would also not be the right thing to do either. You want to be the one with the, you know, take the higher road. Don't be the one to repeat that. But I mean, abuse can be, you know, obviously very, very traumatic, kind of like what we have in our next story.
Yeah. And this person wrote in, this really sounds like a difficult situation. She wants to know, am I going to be the asshole if I cut a toxic mom out of my life? She's 24 years old and her mom is 60 years old, a devout Christian with morals. And they have a passive aggressive relationship. It says, I've always been the black sheep of the family. I'm bigger. I have acne and I'm just not the portrayal of the perfect family. I wasn't a good kid. I'll admit that right off. I retaliated and I lied and stole food and money. And, sorry about that.
Sure.
She has always had a problem with my weight. So she, meaning when she said she was bigger, she's a little bit overweight. And consequently, mom locked me in rooms, whipped me. She doesn't remember, but I've got the scars. Locked cabinets and doors. If I came home from school and I weighed more than what I had weighed when I left in the morning, I'd run our circular driveway for hours. She controlled what teachers were to give me at school for parties. Eventually, she had enough and sent me to foster care and group homes and eventually a Christian camp to fix me. So one of these fixing camps.
Yeah.
I moved on. I am now married with two kids and going on a third. She wasn't really happy with the announcement of any of them. I was called immature and a trip because spouse's family members and her or told her that. Sorry about that. I was called immature and a trip. Because spouse's family members told her she was pregnant. And when my mother came to me, I informed her I was the last to know. This family member never talks to me. She then told me that my spouse's behavior has worn off on me. And I used to be loving and helpful. And I, quote, wasn't so forthcoming to tell her I was pregnant now, unquote. She made it a point one time to buy airplane tickets for me to come and visit. I was early pregnant, which is high risk, and I couldn't fly. She made it a point to remind me occasionally that she spent $500 on those tickets and they should be used. She writes in, insert a path of narcissistic comments she occasionally makes that I've started to notice. She thinks my epilepsy is psychosomatic and probably caused by the devil. She writes in, insert picture of Bible story of a poor kid who was plagued with seizures because of demons. My spouse and I have gone so far as to make an agreement that no argument should go to parents as he lashes out at her. He also thinks I still want validation from her and I'm never going to get it and I should just drop her. I feel I kind of was a crap kid and I deserved what I landed with. So would I be the asshole to just drop my mother? Wow.
No, you wouldn't. You would not at all. I mean, essentially, you are stuck in a circle of abuse. Even though you're an adult, she is still abusing you. And she will continue to until she's dead. People like this, they simply don't change. Narcissists and narcissistic personality disorders and everything else that kind of fits in that area, borderlines, things of that nature. The chance of them changing statistically is like 0.0001%. It's very, very small. It's kind of just how they function. And if there is some improvement, it's very, very rarely noticeable by anybody on the outside of that human being. They may think they're doing miles better, but to those around them, barely noticeable. So, you know, you really kind of got to look at this and I would say, you got to make a choice. Either you want to be happy or you can continue to live with or have someone like that in your life that is going to be toxic to not only you. And this is where you need to look out for not only yourself, but you have kids now and you have a marriage and that should be protected too. And those kids should be protected from that because
exactly
you saw what
and kids can be overweight. It happens.
Yeah.
Metabolism, you know, we all have horrible diets these days. This happens, but to fat shame a kid gives them long lasting, just horrible self-esteem issues.
Well, I mean, look at all the people who were kids, you know, many years ago who had that happen to them. Do you think it worked? You know, if it did, it caused an eating disorder and it went the opposite direction. It's like the shaming doesn't necessarily end with, you know, good.
No. And mom sending her away to a Christian camp to fix her. Okay. So she's bringing up the fact that she was overweight, that she had acne. These are all very normal things that human beings have. I don't understand what there was to fix.
Not when you're a narcissist. When you're a narcissist or a borderline or something like that, every single one of these things are, you know, it needs to be fixed because that can't be part of their story. And if their story doesn't line up with reality, then either they're going to push that person away that is causing their story to not be what they think it should be in their head, or just flat out get delusional and think that their story is, you know, what it what they're telling themselves it is. And then they're frustrated and upset and awful to the people around them when they don't continue to feed into this delusion that so many live in. And that's why narcissists are the way they are. They're never happy. They're always, you know, talking about themselves and what their world is without regard to actual reality. And then if you're someone who's like the child of these people, you're fucked. You're fucked.
Absolutely.
The quicker.
I don't know how you go back from it. First of all, the fact that she wrote into us and told us a story, she's aware. She is very aware that this was some not right shit that was going on in her world. So that, first of all, that's a really good sign.
Yeah.
You know, that you're getting it. You understand that mom is toxic and no, you wouldn't be the asshole if you cut her out. I saw something on Twitter the other day. It says, let's get out of the habit of telling people, well, that's still your mom. That's still your dad.
Fucking
that's still
that.
Your brother.
I hate it.
That is still your sister. Toxic is toxic.
Yeah.
Whether it's family or not, you are allowed to walk away from people who constantly hurt you. You are allowed to walk away.
Yeah.
If it's not serving you well,
be
done with it.
Well, they're the only one you're going to... No, fuck that.
No.
You know what? You go live your life and you escape from that fucker who's also, if you look at the signs of everything that they've done to you, has probably also isolated you quite a bit as well. So there's no one else to point out the insanity of their fucking life. Because once you start realizing that and somebody else starts pointing it out, oh my God, they are target number fucking one to get out of your life. And if you are old enough and you can control that, get out of that life and start realizing, hey, you know what? Family can kind of be what you make it. It doesn't always have to be those that you were born with biologically. In fact, more times than not, I think when you look back on life, you end up being closer with those people than you do your actual blood relatives. Not the case for everybody, but for many, yeah. But first, you have to understand and accept that you can actually do that.
Yeah, you really can. It's one of the beautiful things about being an adult is you can create your own place in this world. As a kid, you're kind of the victim of whatever your parents want you to be.
Yeah.
And I hate to use the word victim, but really it's hard for you to bust out of the shell that they put around you. When you're an adult, you get to do whatever you want. If you want to sit and eat buttered noodles for lunch, like I just did, you can fucking do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I'm not going to send myself to fat camp because I ate noodles for lunch today and had a molasses cookie before we logged in. I mean, was that a smart choice? No, but it was my fucking choice because I'm an adult here and I get to make those decisions.
That would be a great line of frozen foods. My fucking choice instead of healthy choice. It's my fucking choice foods. And it's like bacon. Just bacon.
Yes.
It's just a plate of bacon that you microwave. And nacho cheese sauce to dip it in. And it's my fucking choice dinners.
Can we create that? I think that would be perfect. I fucking love that.
That would be
great.
But
yeah, you know what? Life is what you make it. You have all the power in the world. You make the choice.
Exactly. Exactly. It's difficult to do until you can realize that, though. That's the hard part is hitting that realization. Another mom that makes a lot of horrible life decisions seems to be part of the theme going on here today.
Yeah. Here's another one for you. Never thought I'd be writing in about something like this, but here I am. I've been to therapy about this, but this most recent incident, I have not dealt with it very well. And my therapist is currently unavailable to speak today. So we are the surrogate therapist today. Okay. And we are not therapists, by the way.
No.
But she says, I have always had a great relationship with my mom. I talk to her frequently, although we do not live in the same area. I respect her and she thinks the world of me. However, she makes awful decisions with finances and with men. And I feel like I'm always trying to pick up the pieces financially, emotionally, and mentally as a 30-something year old female. Here's some backstory for you. She ended a 22 plus year marriage with my father when I was a child and seems to always be running from something or in a pickle. My mom was always a great mother as a child. No complaints about that. After my father, she was in a 10-year relationship where the guy completely screwed her out of money and cheated on her. She has dated multiple men trying to find the one. And it makes me very sad that she is in her mid-60s still dealing with the same patterns and issues today. My mom was married a second time to a guy whom she was with 12 plus years. However, poor judge of character again, he was an alcoholic and master manipulator, had multiple family issues, drama, and being verbally abusive to my mom for many years. She divorced him 3 years ago because she couldn't take it anymore and ended up dating her current boyfriend. Now here, the boyfriend, she says, I like him and he has been very good to her. He's taken her on multiple trips, given her gifts, things like that. Here we go. My mom's boyfriend called me this morning. He is currently out of the country and is 6 hours ahead. He called at 3:55 a.m. this morning saying it was an emergency and he could not get a hold of my mom. They live in a gated area and turns out there is an unauthorized person, my mom's ex-husband, who was let into the area that she and her boyfriend live at. The boyfriend and I were so worried and didn't know what had happened to her because of how she's talked about her ex-husband in the past. We started thinking the worst. The police were sent over and turns out her and the ex-husband ended up talking and now they're getting back together after everything he put her through and she's leaving the boyfriend. I have no words. She is completely brainwashed and delusional. So I'm really concerned about my mom. She's always complained about money and her happiness, yet here she is repeating the same mistakes that she's made in the past. I am also 7+ months pregnant, and she was supposed to fly out tomorrow for 12 days to spend with me to help prepare for the baby and my baby shower. However, clearly her mind is preoccupied with other things at the moment. I don't know if she's still intending on flying out, but at this point, I am so disappointed, hurt, and completely drained from having to deal with this again.
Yeah, I mean, right now with her being pregnant, she needs to kind of put a stop on everything other than focusing on that. And yeah. And her internal life there with who she's with. Let mom do her thing. She's an adult. You're an adult. She can handle herself. I mean, obviously not very well, and she keeps putting herself in bad situations, but that's not for you to worry about anymore because you are the adult. Now, if she's coming to you once things have been settled down here a little bit and you have the baby, which is not far off, so you need to be taking care of you, at some point, you have to kind of make a decision here of what kind of relationship do you want to have with her. And it is a choice, and it's setting up boundaries. And it sounds like there's not very clear boundaries right now. If she's relying on you, it was like financial stuff in there too, of helping her out this way and that way. And, you know, emotionally, that's great. But if that's taking a toll on you and taking you away from your children and your family, and it's making your life hell, you need to tell your mom, you know what? I love being here for you as much as I can, but I can't hear about these things anymore. It's taking a toll on me. There's people you can talk to that maybe, you know, can help you work things out. It may make mom upset and angry. That's up to her.
Yeah.
It's not your choice and it's not your fault how she reacts to that. But she'll need to do something like that. Or you can sit there and you can keep taking it and you can keep reeling it in. And you're going to be in the same place you are, and mom will keep making the same choices. She clearly does not have a very good compass with what she does in life. Probably nothing's going to change that at this point. And, you know, she needs some bumpers, but I think age will naturally kind of, you know, give her those, you know, and she obviously just going to demonstrate that she's going to continue to make bad choices, and she'll take down probably anyone that is around her with her. Without really regard, or I think even understanding, because people like this don't, we always think of it from our own perspectives. And if we're not like this, it's impossible to conceive of how this person is thinking. Think of it more like they are wearing some sort of glasses that, you know, like brings out like the black light glasses where you can see the semen all over the Holiday Inn bedspread, that sort of shit. They're wearing a different shade of glasses and they're seeing shit that the rest of us are not seeing or really truly is not really there is what it is. And it's things that are manifesting in their mind. Why? There's a disorder going on. What that disorder is, I have no idea, but there's clearly something there.
Isn't there a codependency going on here too?
Completely.
The daughter has been so wrapped up in taking care of mom that's kind of now who she is.
And I wonder how long that was going on when she was a child too. I'm going to guess the majority of childhood, she was kind of mom's codependent. I don't know, but I would imagine that mom probably, you know, put a lot of those things on her daughter where they really shouldn't have been landing on a daughter to help with a healthier relationship. But it's how life has always been. But you got to at some point, because mom's not going to ever speak up here and say, you know what, honey, I've been putting too much on you. I got to get my life changed up here. And I'm sorry. That will never happen. You're never going to have that conversation. Don't think it will happen. Don't think you're going to lead her down the road with a bunch of Cheez-Its and say, okay, here's the box. You see, there's a Cheez-It box. You'll kick that down the fucking curb and be like, there's no fucking Cheez-It box. Where's more Cheez-Its? Right. And she'll keep going. So it's never going to end. But it's up to you. You can have a relationship on your terms, but make that for you more than for her, quite honestly. Or if you do want to say, you know what, you know, I really got to keep some boundaries here. You know, go as far as you need. I could see some people saying I'm done over things like this.
Let's say she does set those boundaries, mm-hmm. and they're much needed boundaries, but then mom fucks up and does, you know, she's back with the ex again.
Yeah.
He takes a bunch of her money. And here you are, the daughter who really feels like you need to protect mom.
Mm-hmm.
How do you not do anything? How do you just sit there and go,
well, you have to say, you know, I'm sorry that this happened. This is horrible. You know, I don't have anything financially to give you right now. My home is not a place for you to live, you know, with my child. It's not a good setup for that. You know, here's some resources. Here's where, you know, sometimes people really need to fucking hit the bottom before they can, you know, get back up. Help with resources, help with that. There are things out there that can help with this. I would think, you know, she seems, from what I'm hearing, that she's capable enough to be dating all these different men. I'm assuming she'd have enough to get a job of some sort and get it, maintain it like a one bedroom apartment if need be. But she's an adult. She needs to, you know, live by her choices, and there's consequences, and the consequences should not be tearing down your children and their life as you continue on with your shit show that you've been doing your whole life.
Yeah.
Fucking get it together. Oh. And either you do or you don't, but don't let them take you down with you, or take them down with them, because they will fucking do it. And you just have to realize that. But again, there are ways of having a distance, a relationship with boundaries or distance or something that's not going to pull you down. And if the mom doesn't like it, if mom wants to run away from that, then mom fucking runs away from that. But you are putting your boundaries up, and you are doing everything you could do. Doing everything you can do does not mean open up your bank account, open up your house, open up this. That's not everything you can, because those are things you have to put off limits and say, those are not in the wheelhouse of things I can do. Those are not fucking options here.
Boy, that takes a strong person to do that, though, especially if, you know.
It does, but I think people need to be aware that they can. I think a lot of times you don't even think of it. You don't think of it in those terms. It's like, yeah, you know what? You can. Other people have done it. And you look at the happiness level of those two people. Look at one person who hasn't done it, and look at the torturous life they continue to lead, and the chaos that it caused within relationships, with family, other family members, with friends, just with your own mental health. And then take a look at those who have put up those boundaries and have stuck by them. I can guarantee you there's going to be giant differences in what one would say is a fulfillment level in their life and happiness level in their life between those two people.
No, it's a great point.
So
100%.
No, it's horrible. It sucks. But, you know, you feel so obligated in a family setting that I have to do this. You don't always, within reason. I'm not saying the first time somebody acts out or does something dumb, you run away from them. But if this has been their fucking whole life and you've been affected by it so much, at some point you got to say, enough. Cool. You keep doing you. I'm doing me. But I'm over here now. And we can redefine how this relationship works.
And that's the thing. You know, it's an interesting thing that I saw on Twitter again the other day. You know, I'll do me, you do you. We'll just do it far apart from each other. Mm-hmm. And I looked at that and I thought, that's really a great way to look at things. Like, I'm going to live my life, you live yours, and I think you're nuts, you think I'm nuts. Let's just not lead our lives together. You know, you go do your thing, I'll do mine. Well, just leave me alone.
It's no one else's job to validate someone else's life choices if they're bad or poor. And it's not someone else's job then to make the other person feel good about them and then continue to support them indirectly, you know, every time it falls to the ground. It's that person's responsibility. The reason that person never has fixed any of this is because they've always had a cushion of something or someone. And right now, it sounds like it's the child here, the adult child, who is being looked on as the cushion again. When the other man or doesn't work, or she's sick of them, or it's not their flavor of the month, she jumps to another one. And when that doesn't work, it's the daughter. There's always a net. The net has to go away at some point.
It does.
And until that net goes away, this person's going to keep doing this. I mean, they're already very far in. They'll probably, honestly, if you walk away and say, Mom, I can't help you with this, she'll find another man, and probably another one after that, and another one after that. But again, she's an adult. You're an adult. She can live her life the way she wants to, as irresponsible and dumb as it is. It's not you. And you have to worry about teaching your little one how life should be. And in my view, having people like this way the fuck away from young, impressionable minds is better. I you don't want to look back, the child look back going, well, my grandma was kind of like this, so that, you know, that's not so bad, because people do that. Like, yes, it is so bad. And we should point this shit out to families. I hate where everything gets white, you know, sugar-coated, like, well, you know, they did this, but it's not so. Yes, it fucking is.
It is. It's terrible. And it goes on for generations and generations and generations. Yeah. And somebody's got to stop it somewhere. Yes. Otherwise, it continues.
If we can't learn from the poor decisions of the people who supposedly love us, then who the fuck should we be learning it from? I mean, if anybody, stop sugarcoating this shit and like, oh, it's a, no, these people are not, they're just not the greatest decision makers. Doesn't mean you can't love them, but you have to have boundaries. And that's the biggest thing. And boundaries are hard to set up. They really, truly are.
They are, but you've got to protect yourself. Put that fence around yourself, that little bubble, that little shell. You need it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you guys for those stories. And we'd love to hear yours. Write in. Obviously, you can see we talk about anything on this. You can write in and share your story at crazyfampod.com. It's crazyfampod.com. Completely anonymously. You just type it right there. It's all set for you. Click send. I get it here. And we talk about it on the show. Or you can call in your story. We'd love to hear it in your own words. Again, completely anonymously. 1-833-CRAY-FAM. 1-833-CRAY-FAM. 1-833-272-9326. A toll-free call, if that means anything anymore, which I don't think it really does.
I don't think it does either.
1-833-CRAY-FAM. Until next time, for Stacey, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to the very first episode of many to come of My Crazy Family.
My
crazy
family.
My
crazy
family.